This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. More and more voters in the Commonwealth are not registering under any political party, and it is happening faster than before. Only 27% of voters are registered as Democrats, according to state numbers. Then again, only 8% are registered as Republicans, and both numbers are down a lot. Steve Cazella and Mass Inc. Polling Group looked into these numbers and says the two-party system could stop being a useful way to even group voters here. One of our Radio Boston listeners told us, "I rarely get reached out to as an unaffiliated voter." Right. So what does that mean for the future of politics in our state? What about candidates who are running, organizers for ballot measures? Well, Steve's here in Studio 2, and joining us as well, people who have organized for Democrats and Republicans in this state. On the line, Danielle Allen, who ran for governor as a Democrat and is a Harvard political scientist. And here in Studio 2, Wendy Wakeman, a strategist in the Massachusetts GOP. So Steve Cazella, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Danielle Allen, welcome back.
Appreciate it.
And Wendy Wakeman, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So Wendy and Danielle, sit tight for just a minute. I'm going to have Steve set this up for us just a little bit more so listeners sort of know the ground that we're working with. What are the basic numbers, Steve? And when did this change get fast?
Right. So the change has been going on for a long time. It's been what we've basically been seeing is a higher and higher percentage of voters registering as unenrolled, which is the strange term we use in Massachusetts to mean you're not either a Democrat or a Republican. You are enrolled to vote, you're just not enrolled with a party. And that had been happening for a while with young voters basically deciding not to pick either party. And then it got turbocharged in 2020 when our automatic voter registration law went into effect. And basically what that did is when you would interact with state government in various ways and in various capacities, you would be automatically registered to vote, but not enrolled with the party. So we saw voter rolls getting bigger, but the vast, vast majority of people who are coming in and onto those voter rolls are not partisans.
So now we are at a point where roughly two-thirds of registered voters in the Commonwealth are not enrolled in a party, correct?
That's correct.
And in the heyday, what percentage of voters would have been unenrolled? I mean, so when mostly people were enrolled, what kind of number would we have seen roughly?
Right. So, I mean, as recently as a few decades ago, it was 40% unenrolled. So we've seen a huge increase, and it's accelerated dramatically just in the last 3 years.
In the last 3 years. Okay. So we'll come back to causes, and we're going to dive into what this means in a minute. But what I want to do is look at what this looks like on the ground right now as this change is being made. And Wendy Wakeman, I'll turn to you. When you're organizing, you organized for a ballot measure in the last couple of years. Is it harder to organize when you can't easily tap into people who are part of a party, or does it not matter? What's it look like on the ground?
I would say that it matters less than you might think.
So tell me about that.
The quality of data that both parties have, both the Democrats and the Republicans, is just way surpassed what we had 20 or 30 years ago. And in fact, the data is so good. I have a friend who lives in my town who does Republican activism with me. And on our voter rolls, she shows up again and again as a hard Democrat because of where she shops, because she belongs to the teachers' union, because of the address she lives at. That's inaccurate in her case, but in most cases, that data, which brings in information from so many sources, is a lot more informative than an R or a D next to a voter's name.
So Danielle Allen, having run for statewide office in a party, was that your experience as well? That, you know, how somebody's designated with their voter registration doesn't have a lot of play in one's ability to organize and get out the vote because other sources of data are so effective?
Well, I think it's a mixed story, to be honest. So Wendy's point is correct. The data is phenomenal. So it's possible to identify people whom you want to reach out to by text and phone or door knocking and the like for the precise purpose of voter turnout. That's a highly transactional model, though, where all you're trying to do is identify a person, get them to do one thing, come out and vote. At the root of democracy, though, is a deeper set of relational work where you want people to actually be engaged in conversations about what an agenda should be. They should be getting to know other people who share views with them. And for that, you need organizational structures. Party committees do that work. Parties are really schools of democracy. That's where their value lies. And the challenge is that unenrolled people can't really participate in that infrastructure. That matters a lot as well for our ballot access procedures that require people to participate in caucuses. Caucuses are limited to people who are enrolled in parties. So at this point, our procedures for getting people on the ballot for statewide offices actually rule out participation of 2/3 of our voters.
All right, so there's our stakes, right? And again, we're here with, you've just heard Danielle Allen, we've got Steve Cozzella of Massing Polling Group here, Wendy Wakeman, who does organizing work within the Massachusetts GOP, and we're looking at the fact that increasingly, and when I say increasingly, it's not just in numbers, but in the speed of numbers, we're seeing people who are registered to vote in the Commonwealth but not affiliated with a party. All right, so here's where we are. We reached out to members of our texting group on Radio Boston, and you can join that group by sending the word Boston to 617-766-0382. That's Boston to 617-766-0382. We got a ton of answers just in like an hour and a half this morning. People feel strongly about this. Jess in Middlefield said, I'm not registered with the party, though my views definitely align far more with the Democratic side of things. I'm not registered because I want the freedom to pick my primary ballot. And I use that next because I want to get a little more into this cause thing. So Steve Cozzella, back to you. You said, listen, this, we hit turbocharge when we start automatically registering people to vote, but we don't automatically enroll them in a party for obvious reasons. But this is a choice thing because of our primary ballot system. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Right. So the texter from that you just read really hits the nail on the head as far as what was driving it even before this, or one of the key factors that was driving it before this, which is the main way that voters might experience a limitation would be that they couldn't vote in the other party's primary. So if you're a registered Republican, you can't vote in the Democratic primary, and vice versa. However, in Massachusetts, we have a semi-open primary where unenrolled voters can pick whichever ballot they want to vote in. So, you know, there's really no benefit for the vast, vast majority of voters to being registered with one of the parties. So I think that definitely was one of the things that was driving it before this, like, big structural change really, you know, poured gasoline on the fire.
So Maureen in Milford says, I've been voting since I was 18, now in my 60s, although I initially registered with a party affiliation. I became unenrolled years ago. It provides me the opportunity to vote the candidate of my choosing and to vote for a candidate as an action against their opponent, for example, Haley in the primary as a vote against Trump. So that's one example of what you're talking about. Wendy's got her hand up. Wendy, jump in.
I think this has been true for years. If you're a savvy voter, you register as unenrolled so you can play in the more interesting primary. I do think the data that Steve picks up in his article is showing a different phenomenon. What we're picking up with this automatic voter registration is we're picking up uninterested, uninformed voters. And they are not inclined to be registered in either party because they don't think it makes a difference. I really think that's a huge factor here. In fact, I think it bodes well for my party because with the sort of push toward Democrat registration in Massachusetts, the fact that the Dems are losing as many of these voters in terms of registration as the Republican Party is, isn't a bad thing.
So we've got Wendy Wakeman just speaking there, member of the Mass GOP. Danielle Allen, who ran as a Democratic candidate for governor, I'm going to turn to you. And as I do, one more here from Bernadette in Arlington. I am among the unenrolled. Given the situation over the last 10 to 20 years, I do not care for either party's stance. Too much negativity is part of what Bernadette set in. So first, I'll give you a chance to build on or respond to what Wendy just said. And then second, this idea of less interested voters, based on your previous comment that there's an entire infrastructure of engagement that anyone who's not affiliated with the party can't participate in.
Thanks so much. Yes. So I think Bernadette's comment and the previous comment both counteract or provide a counterpoint to the idea that unenrolled voters are uninformed and uninterested. To the contrary, there are a lot of people who are making a conscious choice based both on information and interest not to enroll. This is true nationally as well as in Massachusetts. So what we are watching in Massachusetts is not isolated to us. In the whole country, this is happening. And voters in general, out of, again, interest and information, are often wanting to do ticket splitting to focus on the candidates of their choice, as one of your commenters said. So that really raises the question of whether or not the election system we currently have with party primaries best serves voters in our state. I think that's really the important question. And it's important also to remember that our party primaries are funded by taxpayer dollars. So in that regard, you know, one might ask, is it worth perhaps learning from, for instance, the new Alaska model for elections? There's an all candidates primary. So R's, D's, Greens, Libertarians, Working Families Party, everybody runs on the same ballot. So you don't have to pick a ballot. You get your full choice of candidates in that primary, for then advance to a general with an instant runoff. I think that gives voters voice and choice and responds to this desire coming out of information and interest that the electorate is expressing.
So I'm intrigued by that, Steve Cazella, and I'm going to read you a text from Deirdre in Natick. Registered with the party because our political system works best with two parties is the beginning of what Deirdre says. There's more there. Part of what is on my mind is the extent to which parties are a construct in our democracy, right? The primary system, the way we've built how we choose who runs for office with a particular party, the parties that exist today. I was just reading something that was reminding me of a set of parties, Whigs and Know-Nothings, which don't even exist anymore, right? That's, back in the 1800s, parties change over time, et cetera. How much of this is manufactured sounds dismissive. I don't mean it to, but how much of this is a function of things that we've built and we could build differently?
I think a good portion of it is that. And, there's two different possible reactions to this. One is, who cares? Who cares if how people choose to describe themselves or not? And the other is that parties do matter and we should do something about it. I think what's inarguable is that our elections here in Massachusetts are not really functioning in a way that is in the interest of our state democracy. We have the least competitive legislative elections in America here in Massachusetts.
Wendy's nodding, want to note.
Year after year after year, we have, a diminishing participation in primaries as far as like having competitive primaries in both parties. That's, going back decades. So, this is one potential sign of the weakness that the state's political system is showing. But I don't think anybody would look at what's going on here in Massachusetts as far as our elections go and say, we've reached the point where everything's working the way we want.
So, Wendy, just pick it up. Wendy Wakeman.
I couldn't agree more. We're looking at a one-party state situation, and it does not seem to be functioning. I don't want to leave the listeners with the impression that it's Democrats and Republicans because that's the way it's always been and that's what the law is. Those primaries are set up based on the percentage of people who are registered, who voted in the last election. We've seen Libertarian ballots. We've seen the Green Party elevated to major party status and then lose that elevation. There is the ability to switch. To switch the parties around. The system could be flexible with that.
So, Danielle Allen, the other piece that strikes me in reading these comments from, our texting group, and again, you can join it by sending the word Boston to 617-766-0382, but also reading the data, the research, this idea that, there's good and bad. Let me ask a better question. On the one hand, multi-party systems where parties are enfranchised can strengthen your democracy by making elections competitive. On the other hand, providing people as much flexibility to vote the candidates of their choice based on what they believe in also attractive. Do those things exist in competition with each other given our systems now, or are we built to allow all of that to happen? Is there something that needs to be done better?
Now, that is a terrific question. And I think the really important point is that changing our election system to be more responsive to the needs of the electorate and strengthening parties, major parties specifically, are actually compatible goals. People often think they're intention, but they're not. The short of it is that declining party enrollment should be a wake-up call to parties. Both parties, both major parties, need to get to work on values of full inclusion, engagement, and healthy competition. And an election system like Alaska's would give us that competitive context. then within that competitive context, those parties should get out there and compete to pull people back in, compete to have people re-enroll. That's the sense in which those two things are compatible with each other. And as I said before, parties really are valuable schools of democracy. It's actually quite healthy that we have the two major parties. It's good that we also have competition coming from smaller parties. But so in that regard, we want a system that's designed for healthy competition. And then we want our parties to work on their own health by working on those values of full inclusion, engagement, and healthy competition.
Steve.
Yeah, and within that, I think it's important to note, too, that to enable parties to compete for voters, we really need to create the infrastructure and the system for them to do so. So there's nothing preventing us from having an automatic voter registration, for instance, that includes a party choice, where right now you can't opt out of being registered to vote at the RMV, but you could add in a party registration question. So then as Democrats and Republicans are competing for that individual voter, at least they have the opportunity to say, okay, you've won me over. I want to be in your party. Whereas right now you have to take the additional step of, going to City Hall or going on the Secretary of State's website. And those are the steps that the data right now is showing people just are not taking.
Wendy, what else would you like to see?
I'm interested in expanding on something Steve just said. We had a situation last year. We had several situations last year where we realized that people who believed they were registered as Republicans were not. So we had a young woman who wanted to run for lieutenant governor, who did run for lieutenant governor, Kate Campanelle. She was a great candidate. She had served as a state rep, as a Republican state rep. And yet when we vetted her as a candidate for the convention, she was registered undeclared. And she was registered undeclared. We went through an awful lot of research with the Secretary of State's office, which is always so helpful in these cases. She was registered undeclared because she moved from one town to the next. And when she moved from one town to the next, the automatic registration kicked in and bumped her off of the rolls. We ran into a lot of problems qualifying delegates for the same reason. I'm not a fan of automatically enrolling people and automatically enrolling people as unenrolled. I think it disenfranchises people who want to be registered, especially Republican, because as the minority party, the bureaucrats who surround that whole decision are much more inclined isn't the right word, but much more likely to just bump them to Democrat or to bump them to unenrolled. Because that's the way everybody is, or in their minds, that's the way everybody is.
So I can't confirm or refute that last piece of what you said, Wendy, but the rest of that, I think, sits sort of in the middle of this conversation that we're having here. And so as we're getting into last words here, I sort of want a last thought from each of you. And I'll start with Danielle Allen on the phone. Your sort of, your call to listeners who have been hearing this, Danielle Allen, is what?
It's to remember that our taxpayer dollars pay for our primary election system. So we want those dollars to be devoted to an election system that actually meets the needs of our electorate as it currently exists. And our current electorate says, I want choice. I want to be able to ticket split if need be. So I think that is, it's time to look at the Alaska model for Massachusetts.
Wendy Wakeman, yours is?
Certainly oppose ticket splitting. I think to strengthen the parties, we need to keep that primary system in place. It is not a problem of either major party. It's a more widespread problem, the problem of more unenrolled voters. And I think the sort of shorthand initial impact you make by saying you sit in this chair or you sit in this chair is very useful for the voters.
So yours would be enroll in a party.
Yeah, enroll in a party.
And Steve Cazella, yours?
Yeah, zooming out to what's going on around the country, what we see is that Democratic-leaning states have adopted AVR much more frequently. So we're actually seeing across the country more independents and fewer Democrats. So we're going to have a lot of opportunities to kind of see what the impacts of this are around the country. But I think we have to keep the door open for, okay, we did AVR. Great to have more voters. What should we do next to be sure our election system is operating the way we want?
Okay. Steve Cazella, president of the Mass Inc. Polling Group, Danielle Allen, director of the Allen Lab for Democracy Renovation at the Harvard Kennedy School, and Wendy Wakeman, strategist within the Massachusetts GOP. Thanks to all three of you for being here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.